Hi, Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today, brought to you by theplaintruth.com. And today I want to talk about the rearming of the world, the rearming of Western Europe, especially, and of Japan, and how Donald Trump's policy of forcing Europe, for example, to pay for their own defense, or as he says, to pay for their fair share of their defense. I'm going to tell you about the fallacy of that. And every time I hear about paying for the fair share, I can't help but think of Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. It seems that Donald Trump is trying to mirror Democrats and not Ronald Reagan and the good Republicans of the past that understood why we do not want to rearm Germany and a rearm Japan. I'm going to play a little transcript here about the rearming of Japan, and I'm going to talk about that. And before I get into it, I just want to explain, Japan feels threatened by both North Korea and China. Both countries, Korea as a general rule, North and South, and China despise the Japanese for what happened in World War II. The atrocities that the Japanese soldiers did upon the girls of Korea and China and the people in general are unbelievably bad. And there is a hatred there, and there is still this idea they would like to retaliate against Japan. Japan now sees a rearmed China with nukes, and they see a North Korea now with nukes who sends missiles over top the island of Japan just to show a show of strength, and it's not going to end well. So we're going to start with this documentary here, and we're going to go through some of it, and I'm going to explain why making our allies pay their fair share of NATO, or in Japan it was called SATO, South East Pacific or something like that. I forgot what it was really called, to be honest. But listen to why Japan is being rearmed, and then I'm going to give a little history lesson. And before I do that, I just want to say that in the Japanese Constitution, which was written by General Douglas MacArthur, who knew what he was doing when it came to the militarist of Japan, the Japanese people forever renounced war as a sovereign right of the nation. That's Article 9 of the Japanese Constitution. Now, I want to play this brief introduction, and we'll talk about it.
Wars and saber-rattling have increased around the world since Russia invaded Ukraine. The invasion has even pushed a bastion of world peace to the brink of militarization. Worried about the threat from China, Japan recently unveiled an ambitious new defense strategy.
Security in the Asia-Pacific region has deteriorated at an unprecedented rate. We are considering all options to strengthen our defense capabilities, including the possibility of striking enemy bases.
Suddenly, Japan's security policy has changed dramatically from a pacifist nation to now a nation that's developing counter-strike capabilities by purchasing Tomahawk missile.
Peace relies on a balance of power. Russia attacked Ukraine. It's a mistake to think that we won't be attacked because we don't have any army or military bases. That era is over.
Japan wants to increase defense spending by 60% by 2027, the third largest military budget behind the U.S. and China.
And the fourth largest military budget behind Japan is already Germany. People don't realize this, but the two last allies in World War II that stood against America and the West was Germany and Japan, and now they are the third and fourth largest military spending behind United States and China. Do you realize that means they're spending more on their military than Russia, which was our supposedly our enemy, which they never really were. The Cold War was a little bit of a military-industrial complex going on where American businesses made a lot of money scaring the heck out of people about a nuclear war that probably could never happen because the Russians did not want to be destroyed themselves. It's not like you're dealing with a bunch of Muslim terrorist nations that think that dying for Allah is going to send them to heaven with 72 angels, virgins, whatever that is. But it's important to realize what we are unfolding here, what is happening with this Trump policy of making people defend themselves, because that defense soon can turn into offense, and it can soon turn into aggressive peoples once again trying to dominate the world, including us. And the Bible, my friends, the Bible says that is exactly what's going to happen. Our enemy is not Russia. Our enemy is not China. Our enemy is going to be the Holy Roman Empire that is going to be revived under either an Italian or German dictator with the help of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. That's the Antichrist and the false prophet. All of our forefathers understood the identity of the Antichrist as being the Holy Roman Empire, which when they were writing the Constitution and the Federalist Papers, there was still a Holy Roman Empire. It went away, and we think it's dead. But when you see Revelation, you understand that the wound that the beast had gets healed. And that wound is, it's coming back to life. Like I said about Iran, you know, when you didn't cut off its head, that snake is any way alive, it's going to come back and strike you again, which they're going to do as well, because they are the king of the south, is all the Muslim nations to the south. They're the king of the south, and the king of the north is the Holy Roman Empire. We are setting up, foolishly, our own demise when we make countries that are warmongering countries rearm themselves and spend all kinds of money in armaments because the militarists end up taking control. And that is what's going to happen again during the end times. Now, I'm not saying the end times are right around the corner because many things, as I said over and over and over again, many things have to happen before the end times can happen, before Christ returns. There's going to be a temple in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. It's going to be there. I know a lot of people in the Churches of God Seventh Day who think that it's not, the temple does not have to be there, because they try to read a little here and a little there of the Bible instead of taking the Bible as a whole and understanding the Bible is very consistent and very predictable about what it claims is going to happen. It's there in black and white. The Bible is one of the only documents, other than the United States Constitution, that is, that people can read it and not understand it and say it says something that it does not say. It just amazes me, and it amazed me when I first started reading the Bible after I was kind of challenged by myself to start reading the Bible, that I thought I knew what was in there. And when I was listening back in my college days to Garner Ted Armstrong, I became convinced by his programs that I did not understand the Bible because I had never read it. I thought I knew everything that was in there, but I did not. And when I started reading the Bible, and the words were just plain, and then, you know, for example, it would say in the Bible, do not think I've come to abolish the law. And yet every single theologian that I was looking at or studying or listening to said Christ came to abolish the law. It just all of these things just got to me. And I started to think of something, and a friend of mine, one of my best friends who ended up becoming my wife, said, not everybody can be wrong. And I blurted out, well, everybody has to be wrong because they don't agree with themselves. The Protestants don't agree with the Catholics. The Catholics don't agree with all the Protestant denominations. The Protestants themselves don't agree with each other. No one agrees with the Mormons, or the Baptists don't agree with the Presbyterians, and the Calvinists don't agree with the Anglicans, and the Quakers don't agree with anybody, and the Amish have their own set of rules and how they understand the gospel. So no one is right. And so if no one is right, maybe what Garner Ted Armstrong is saying is correct, and maybe the Bible does interpret itself unlike what the Armstrongs tried to preach, a little here, a little there, that's how you really get confused if they just read a few more lines in Isaiah after that well-worn verse they like to use. They will find out the next words say, so that they will fall backwards and stumble. If you take a little of the Bible here and a little of the Bible there, all you're going to come up with is doctrine of the devil. And I'm sorry, but that's the case. You take the Bible as a whole, and if you find one or two passages that seem to contradict the Bible as a whole, then you realize right there that you're reading something that's either been mistranslated or you're not understanding God's message, because God does not, he's not the author of confusion, and God is not trying to confuse people at all. It's plain English in the English Bibles, or if you listen to the Hebrew. Now, I will admit, when you're reading the English Bible, be it the King James or the Living Bible or the New King James Bible or the NIV, I will admit there's a lot of translation errors that's not found in the original if you understood the original. So sometimes you got to do a little research. For example, the idea in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is called a he, makes people believe in a Trinity. Yet in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit has a feminine form, and it's she, and she is wisdom, and that's all the feminine Holy Spirit of the Old Testament. It's because in many languages, not English, but in many languages, every object is given either a feminine or a masculine pronoun. For example, la pluma is the pen, and it's feminine. El toro, I believe, is the bull, and a bull, of course, is masculine. So that is the reason why the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is erroneously rendered many times in the New Testament, when the translation should render it, because the Holy Spirit is not a he, it is an it. The Holy Spirit is what God the Father and God Jesus Christ is comprised of. They are comprised of the Holy Spirit. And the proof of that, before I get off subject here, is when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she became pregnant, and Jesus is on the cross praying to his God the Father, why is he praying to God the Father if the Holy Spirit was his Father? Get the point? Well, going back to this idea of the Trump administration, and basically it's mainly Trump more than anyone else, wants to see everyone paying for their own security. And that is because the United States is broke. The United States has spent all their money on welfare programs and on every single nonsensical thing you can imagine that you could spend money on. They do not cut the budget. This big, beautiful bill is nothing but a big, ugly bill. It's going to absolute bankrupt this country. We have gone from the country that has given money around the world after World War II and rebuilt the economies of the world to now the greatest debtor nation of the world. We are broke. We just don't know it yet. The American people think that we're some first world, modern, best country in the world, the greatest country in the world, the most powerful country in the world, and it's all balderdash. We are a paper tiger. Yes, we have nuclear bombs. We have some good missiles and some good aircraft. But I got news for you. China is catching us, and so will Europe, and so will Japan. And we will find ourselves what we really are, a paper tiger, unwilling to fight. I had a broadcast a few weeks ago using a line from the Bible. What happens when the leaders call for war and no one shows up for battle? And that's what's going to happen. We're going to get ourselves into trouble. Our president, whoever it is at the time, is going to call for military action, and Americans are going to refuse to go. How I know that? The Bible says so. And the Bible is never, ever going to be wrong. Now, can Bible prophecy change if we change? I do this in every show that I can think of. I always say, what I'm talking about does not have to happen, at least in our lifetime. All it requires is to do what the people in Nineveh did when Jonah gave them the warning of their coming destruction. They repented, put on sackcloth and ashes, and asked God to change his mind. And God did change his mind. Think about that. We still as a people, we are the nation of the Bible that's called Israel. That is the identity of the United States of America. We are the 13th tribe of Israel. Joseph was one of the 12 tribes. And if you remember the story, when Jacob blessed Joseph's two sons, he adopted them as his two sons. Joseph no longer was considered a tribe of Israel. Joseph became Ephraim and Manasseh. And when he was blessing both sons, he put the greater blessing on the younger son, Ephraim, the 13th son. His father said, "No, my father, do not do this." And this is the older boy. And Jacob said, I know what I'm doing. The older boy is going to be a colonizing world empire. But the younger son's going to be the greatest nation to ever exist on the face of the earth until the coming of God. This is what the story is all about. And who is that nation? It's America. That's why the number 13 is so important on our currency, on our flag, on our national symbol. Everything has to do with 13 because 13 is the identity of Ephraim, the 13th tribe. Never forget, when you read about prophecies concerning Israel in the Bible, it's not talking about the Jews. It's talking about America and, to a lesser extent, the other lost tribes of Israel, like the United Kingdom, Great Britain, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Denmark, Denmark of Dan, Scandinavia, Reuben, which is France, the Netherlands. These are all parts of the lost tribes of Israel that were taken into captivity by the Assyrians, who are the modern-day Germans, the warlike people of the Bible, the only people in the Bible that call their homeland the fatherland. Assyria were warmongers, like the German people were in World War II, but they called their homeland the fatherland, like the Germans do to this day. America, we look at America as our homeland, as a feminine. We look up to her, the United States of America. Do we not? Most of the world does. But Assyria is the modern day Germany. And we're going to talk about Germany next year, because it's not just Japan that's rearming. It's not just Japan that is going to raise its ugly head of militarism again. It's also Western Europe, not Western Europe, I should say Central Europe, especially the nation of Germany, Austria, maybe like Hungary, Greece, and Italy, and getting its power from the Holy Roman Catholic Church, and it's going to be the final revival of the Holy Roman Empire. I'm going to play a quick, about a one-minute broadcast here about the shocking rearmament of Germany. Remember, we just heard that Japan's got now the third largest military budget. Japan, whose constitution absolutely outlaws that they can have an army or a navy or enter into a war, and yet they have the third largest military budget in the world, surpassing that of Russia, England, France, our allies, Canada. Only the United States and China have bigger expenditures on military than both Japan and Germany. And if that doesn't wake somebody up here, I don't know what's gonna. These people, when they get their arms back and they get the nuclear bombs that they're going to get, they are going to become the terror they were in the 1930s and 40s. You can count on it, because the Bible predicts it, and the Bible is not going to be wrong with the identities of the end-time King of the North and the King of the South. And it's not Russia. It's not China. It's not the people we perceive to be our enemies today. It's certainly not Canada and Mexico and 78 other countries we're putting tariffs against. America is in trouble. It's in decline. And unfortunately, this administration is doing nothing to help that decline. In fact, I can make the argument it is helping the decline go along. But let's move on the last 10 minutes here about Germany and what's happening in Germany.
Germany is rearming at a pace not seen since the Second World War, and Chancellor Friedrich Merz, basically the German head of state, has made it crystal clear why. He recently declared that the, quote, peace dividend is over, marking the end of decades where European nations could slash military spending, basically not spend much at all, and focus all their cash on economic growth instead of defense. The peace dividend, by the way, basically means a bonus that a country gets to its economic prosperity by not having to spend as much on military, but still surviving as a functioning state. For Germany, this started after World War II, in particular after the end of the Cold War, US versus Soviet Russia. I know I'm simplifying. I didn't mention reunification and all that, but that's for another video. Now, why rearm in 2025?
Well, why they rearmed in 2025 and why they're going to continue to rearm is what Russia is doing in Ukraine and may soon do to places like Poland or Finland or maybe even Scandinavia. There is a beast-type person in Putin, and the United States of America is not doing its responsibility and stopping him. There was a reason, and I've said this over and over and over again, there was a reason that our leaders, and smart leaders that they were, General MacArthur, Eisenhower as president, and as five-star general of Europe, they understood that never again can these militaristic-type countries be allowed to defend themselves, because the minute that happens, they are going to become the aggressors again. The military complex will take over, and war, world war, will happen. So, you know, a lot of people say the United States needs to keep their face out of all these world things. I don't think we need to send troops everywhere, and I definitely don't think we need to have the CIA cause troubles and wars so we can sell more arms that our military-industrial complex is making. But the idea that we do not see threats when they are happening, or that we are actually causing, be it Japan and Germany and what Putin is doing or what Xi Jinping is doing in China, because Xi Jinping is going to be the idiot of idiots when Japan sends their kamikaze pilots to large Chinese cities with airplanes, now jets, armed with A-bombs versus just a bomb. You know, the kamikaze pilots did a lot of destruction to the United States Navy in World War II at the closing days. These people committed suicide by crashing their planes into boats and other planes, and with bombs on board that would explode. Many boats sunk with these kamikaze pilots, and it just horrified everyone in the Navy because they never even thought of anybody doing something like that. Well, just think about 100, 200 kamikaze pilots today with a really, really rapid new Japanese jet with an H-bomb, a hydrogen bomb, 1,000 times more powerful than a bomb dropped on Hiroshima or Nagasaki, and 100 or 200 or 300 of those fly into China, which is just minutes away from their aircraft carriers, that they could take out 100 of the major cities of China in a matter of minutes. Think about that. What do you think China's going to do? China has never been, and it is still not, a warlike people. In fact, if you know your history, which unfortunately so many Americans do not, when the United States decided to get even after we were attacked at Pearl Harbor, a Colonel Doolittle decided and came up with a plan that he would take B-25 bombers and do the impossible. He was going to put them on aircraft carriers and figure a way to get those planes off those aircraft carriers and not take the normal amount of runway that the B-25 needed. And he was going to bomb Japan within months of Pearl Harbor to show the Japanese the Americans were on their way. And it was a heroic effort. If you haven't seen 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, a 1940s movie, you need to watch it. It is unbelievable what these Americans were able to do. And they all had a crash land into China because that was at the time, even though occupied by Japan, the Chinese resistance under Chiang Kai-shek, which is now modern Taiwan, by the way, modern Taiwan used to control all of China under Chiang Kai-shek, those people absolutely saved, protected, and actually died to protect those American fighter bombers that landed on Chinese soil after attacking Japan. The Chinese people were a wonderful ally of America during World War II. The Chinese people themselves love America. They love everything about America. They love the fact that they are making products that are sold in America, and Americans want to buy them. They are very proud. They are very capitalistic people. They're not communist at all. As a matter of fact, the Chinese government is not even communist. It's fascist. That's what it is. And many business people want to deal, ironically, with fascist governments because they don't have to worry about elections. But that's another story. But Germany is rearming. Japan is rearming. And the United States is the reason they're rearming, because we refuse to live up to the responsibility of being the most dominant country in the world after World War II. And now we are throwing that responsibility to the own people, the people who caused World War II in the first place, now to protect themselves. And that self-protection is going to migrate into attacking their neighbors, finding reasons that their neighbors need to be attacked, as a la Hitler did and Japan did when Japan took over the Philippines, Japan took over China, Japan took over Korea, Japan took over all those Southeast Pacific little islands, and Germany took over Poland and Czechoslovakia and Austria and all the nations on the east, like Holland, the Netherlands, France, Denmark, Finland, Norway, Sweden. This is all what happens when you don't learn from your history. The Plain Truth's mission is to take today's news and make people understand that there is a cause for what's happening today. You don't see that when you watch the news on Fox or CNN or the Washington Post or the New York Times. You don't understand that all of this has been talked about before in the pages of the Bible. God predicted what is going to happen to your future. There are things we can do as a people to forestall it or to stop it. You can change prophecy. I do not want to understate this. It can change if we have a change of attitude. But you know what? As God told Ezekiel, don't worry about trying to convince the people when you tell them what they're doing wrong, because my people are a stubborn people and they will refuse to listen. And I'm afraid God realizes that all of us out there, the people of America, will refuse to listen to God and what God wants us to do. And because of that, we're going to find ourselves in a lot of problems. And that's a very sad state of affair. And I as a person who always likes to look at the future brightly, I do not like to give the message that I'm giving today, because I know most people don't want to hear it and they don't want to listen to what I have to say anyway, especially when it comes to condemning what they're doing, what they're thinking, and what they believe in. Because that, my friends, is not a fun thing to do. And I like to have people like me, like everybody else, and I want to give good news like everybody else, and I want to say the things you want to hear like most people do. But I'm saying what's in the Bible, and I'm saying what God wants out. I'd rather have God happy with me and heaven happy with me than the people on earth upset with me. But those of you who listen, who start studying the Bible for yourself, start understanding prophecy, understanding who the players are in prophecy, it has nothing to do with your salvation. Let me just say this again. Understanding the end times has nothing to do if you're a Christian or not. That has to do with obeying Christ, believing that Christ is who he says he is, and that he's the God of the Old Testament, and that you obey his every word. If you do that, you're a Christian. You don't have to worry about who the players are at the end time. If you want to go through the tribulation, which all Christians that are alive at the time is, because there is no rapture, if you believe in that, again, you're part of the false doctrine of Christianity. So if you want to know what's going to happen, even though you are a Christian, it has nothing to do with who the players are, like I said. But if you want to know what you're going to go through if you're still alive, then the Bible's going to tell you what's going to be happening. And this program is dedicated to that message of what is going to happen and what we could do to try to stop it from happening. Well, that's the show for today, and I appreciate those who have hung on these 28 minutes, 29 minutes now, to listen to what I had to say. I imagine some people did not, but that's to their own problems. God is real. The Bible is real. The Bible is the news you need to understand. The Bible is as accurate and as relevant as the news you're going to watch tonight, tomorrow night, and the night after. And if you don't believe that, you're going to be very sorry someday. This is Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today, brought to you by theplaintruth.com, saying thank you for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. Have a good day. Bye-bye.